My life's in you, my strength's in you, my hope's in you, in you.
This is a presentation of the Durham Church of Christ in Durham, North Carolina. We are located at 5224 Wake Forest Highway. If you are ever in the Durham area, we hope that you will come by and visit.
Good afternoon, friends and brethren. It is great to be back with you this afternoon as we get another opportunity to praise the Lord, to worship, to sing songs, to pray to Him. We are so very blessed to have the health and the ability to be able to worship our God. What an honor it is. There was a man that was walking through the streets of a foreign land, and as he walked through, he saw merchants all throughout the marketplace. And he saw some merchants selling all types of different items and different types of merchandise, and he came across one particular man who was selling shirts. And he saw on these shirts different sayings that were written that someone would buy in order to say something about themselves. And on one of the shirts, he saw, "Born to Lose." And he walked up to the man and he said, why would you write something like this on one of these shirts? Do people actually buy these shirts? And the man said, "Yes, people buy those shirts." And in a foreign way said, "That saying is painted on the mind of a man before it is painted on the shirt." You know, the way in which we perceive ourselves can have a great amount of impact on our life. Not only occupationally, not only educationally, not only within our own relationships, but likewise spiritually. If we perceive ourselves to be something that we ought not to be, or perceive ourselves to be in some way that God does not command us to be, then we are putting our souls in jeopardy. This morning, we asked ourselves the question, how do we see God? And this afternoon, we're going to ask ourselves the question, how do we see ourselves? You know, it's important that we have the right image of God, the right understanding of God, the right characteristics of God when we think of the Lord Almighty. But it's also important that we have the right understanding of ourselves in relationship to God. Because if we don't, then we're going to fail to act the way we ought to be acting, behaving the way we ought to be behaving in order to be pleasing to the Lord. What are some ways that we could potentially perceive ourselves? Well, we could see ourselves as wise. The Proverbs writer writes in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 7, "Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." You know, it is a great temptation to be wise in our own eyes. To have the idea and the mindset that we know the best way about doing things. We have the greatest of all opinions, and everyone else's is sub to our own. But such is warned of throughout the Bible. Isaiah writes in Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 21. Let's look at verse 20. It kind of goes along with this whole mindset. "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight." You know, such a mindset, such a lifestyle of thinking is very difficult to break. Once you believe that your wisdom and the way of doing things as to how you think things ought to be done is the best way, it's awfully difficult to challenge that. It's awfully difficult to step down from such a high pedestal that one has lifted himself up upon. Paul writes to the Romans in Romans chapter 11 and verse 25, "For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion or own estimation." Don't think of yourself higher than you ought to think. Don't think that you are estimated to be some great and all-wise person or being, because such is dangerous. See, we don't want to be wise in our own eyes. Rather, we want to see ourselves as trusting in God rather than in ourselves. Putting our trust not in self, but in our Savior. Jeremiah writes in Jeremiah chapter 9, starting at verse 23, he says, "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom." See, he doesn't say that there's no such thing as a wise man. He just says, if you're a wise man, you glory in the Lord. You don't glory in your own wisdom. Don't glory thinking that it is of yourself. Neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. If indeed we have certain abilities, if indeed we have certain ways of doing things that might be quite good, we ought not to even see that within ourselves. And even when others call it out among us and tell us that we might be good at something, it is not our position to then accept that and take that in and let that blossom to the point of pride, to the point of then ultimate destruction. Rather, the glory belongs to God. Some brethren might say from time to time when they're complimented, "To God be the glory." Amen to such a statement. I was taught in school that some of my instructors, they would teach class and they would just do so fantastic and just explain it so well. And I would come up and others would come up and praise them and just tell them how wonderful of a job they did. And they would simply say, "God makes it that easy, doesn't it? Doesn't God just make it that interesting?" Giving God the glory. See, we need to be careful that we not let ourselves be wise in our own eyes, great in our own estimation. See, we see that Herod, when he did such a thing, God smote him dead in Acts chapter 12. Verses 20 through 23, we learn of this Herod and how he arrayed himself in royal apparel, sat upon his throne, verse 21, and made an oration unto them. And the people gave a shout, saying, "It is the voice of a God and not a man." Well, Herod did not deny such a statement. No, Herod was just fine thinking that he was wonderful and great in the eyes of others, and ultimately he believed it of himself, and so he was smote. We understand there is a need to perceive ourselves correctly when it comes to our abilities, and ultimately acknowledge the giver of those abilities, ultimately acknowledge the one who knows all things, which is God. Let us not be wise in our own self, but let us glorify our Savior and put our trust in Him. Wisdom and self-wisdom is dangerous, but so is the idea that we are right. Something that I think every human being struggles with and probably will struggle with until eternity comes. I don't know about you, but I've said it many times, I don't like being wrong. And I've never really met somebody who enjoys being wrong. It's not fun. But if one is going to perceive himself as right and always right and somehow removed from any form of correction and any need to be instructed in what is right, then he himself is building for himself ultimate destruction upon his soul. The Proverbs writer writes in Proverbs 12, verse 15, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise." Chapter 14 and verse 12, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Notice chapter 16 and verse 25, "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." You know, God doesn't use bold. He doesn't use underlining. He doesn't use italics or strike through. No, God uses repetition. When God wants to emphasize something, first of all, everything that God says is important and we ought to take heed of. But when God wants to emphasize something, He'll say it over and over again. Here we see almost the exact same verse, two chapters apart from each other. What is God trying to say? He's saying, if you think you are right in and of yourself, you are on your way to death. You are building for yourself destruction. Proverbs 28 and verse 26, we read, "He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool." You may have come across folks before that are certain they're right with God, are certain that God is going to be pleased with them on the day of salvation. They know for sure that they're worshiping God in spirit and in truth. They know for sure they've been saved. And you ask them why they know, and they say, because I believe it in my heart. The Proverbs writer tells us that one that believes such a thing is a fool. If we're going to put trust in salvation and in our workings regarding spirituality, it must be rooted in and rooted in alone the Bible. Not based upon our own beliefs. Not based upon our own definition of what is right. We don't need to perceive ourselves as being right, but we need to perceive ourselves always, and here's the challenge, as in need for instruction and correction. Imagine how much different this world would be if everyone was waiting, anticipating for the opportunity to be corrected. Wouldn't we live in a much different society? It would be a lot easier, wouldn't it? If everyone just woke up each day and said, I am prepared to be corrected today. Well, that's how God's people are supposed to be. Proverbs 12 verse 1, whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish. If one despises reproof, wants nothing to do with being corrected, he is going to be brutish. He is going to be stubborn. He is going to find himself in a bind. Notice chapter 13 and verse 1. A wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. Proverbs 17 and verse 10. A reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool. See, a wise man is ready to receive correction. Why? Because he's not a truly wise man. He's not seeking to be wise so that he can lift up himself. He's seeking to be wise for a greater purpose, for a greater reason, which is ultimately the Lord's glory. So if he is in the wrong and he needs to be reproved, that is to be chided severely. That's what that word means. To be chided severely. He is thankful for that so that he can make proper corrections in order to live his life in true wisdom and pleasing to the Lord. We're all very, very, very familiar with, as we ought to be, the verse from Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23. O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. The more quickly we can come to an acceptance and an understanding that we are wrong and God is right, the easier this life is going to be. And then when we are corrected, and then when faults and errors are pointed out upon us, we don't take it with difficulty. Rather, we take it with joy, knowing that it gives us an opportunity to make corrections that could have been spiritually destructive to our eternal souls. Do we see ourselves as right, or do we see ourselves as being in need of correction? Let's look at the third category. Do we see ourselves as being big? And when I say big, I mean great and mighty, strong and wonderful. The world would just about die if I perished. We learn in 1 Samuel chapter 15 of the first king of Israel. His name was Saul. And when God initially chose him, Samuel tells Saul that at that point, Saul was little in his own sight. 1 Samuel 15 and verse 17. He did not see himself as a king. He did not see himself as mighty and grand. Rather, he saw himself as being little, as being one that was willing to be submissive unto another. But now Saul had reached the point of idolatry. How so? Because now he believed himself to be God. He believed himself to be right. He believed himself to be as big or not bigger than God. Notice what Saul is told by Samuel in verse 23. He says, "For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft." That's interesting. and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Folks, when we are stubborn, and let me tell you, I battle with stubbornness, but I imagine some other folks may as well. But when we are stubborn and we refuse to see that we are wrong and that we cannot be wrong because we are so big. You know the term in government recently, too big to fail? When we think that of ourselves, we have then become idolatrous because we have made ourselves God. Folks, there are plenty of people in this earth that are bigger than us and better than us. There always will be. And above all, even if indeed we are something great, God trumps every man combined. We cannot perceive ourselves as big, but rather we need to perceive ourselves as Jesus commands us in Matthew chapter 18, starting in verse 2, to be as a child. You know, children grow up longing to be grown up. But it's interesting because spiritually speaking, really, grown-ups ought to be longing to be grown down like little children. In verse 2 of Matthew chapter 18, it says, Jesus called a little child unto Him and set him in the midst of them. Here Jesus calls a child. He sets them in the midst of the people. And He says, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. You know, there are attributes about children that I long to have. A child is teachable. Now, yes, I know, parents, sometimes that might make us smile because it would appear that that's not the case. But overall, we all agree that children are teachable. They're willing to sit down and be taught. And not only are they willing to be taught, they're willing to ask questions in order to be taught. A child is willing to admit, I don't know the answer, but I'd like to know, can you give me the answer, please? That's a child. See, to be great in the kingdom of heaven and to be great within the church is not to say, I now know it all. I don't ever have to ask a question again. No. And sometimes it's sad because that's the perception that we have of our elders and of our deacons and of our preacher. And somehow they've reached a point of intellect that we'll never be able to reach and they don't have any questions anymore. No. I have more questions since I've been preaching than before I started preaching. Those that are great in the kingdom are those that are willing to say, I don't know the answer, but I'd like to find out. A child is teachable, but a child is also humble. A child recognizes that that child is indeed, unlike Saul, little. And that there are others around him that surround him or her that has a great amount of power and is to be esteemed much higher than the child. Won't we do good to see others that way? And you know, I know as men, it is very tempting to size each other up. It's very tempting to walk into a room and to kind of, it's instinctive. You kind of just get a good pan of the room and you know, okay, where do I fit in here? But really, as children of God, other than that initial aspect, it doesn't go beyond that. It really, it's maybe a defense mechanism, but beyond that, it's really nothing. All else is to be elevating and esteeming others greater than ourselves, telling others how wonderful they are. Just as we're told in the Philippians letter, chapter 2. Esteem others better than yourself. That's what a child does. A child is also submissive. A child is willing to submit unto a greater authority. That which is something us non-children sometimes struggle with. A child likewise is fearful. Sometimes fearful in some of the smallest things. But we would do well to grow in our fearfulness of God. And lastly, a child is trusting. Now, I know when a child gets to a certain age, that child might start to inquire how the food got on the table and whether or not it's going to come. Maybe at some point. But all in all, usually that's not the case. A child does not question mommy and daddy as to how that child is going to be provided for, how the clothes are going to come, how the food is going to come. The child just simply trusts that it will be done. And the same is true with the children of God. The children of God do not doubt God's ability nor power to be able to provide for His children. Rather, the children of God are trusting, knowing, I might not know when the next meal is going to come or where it's going to come, but I know it's going to come because I'm doing His will. I'm seeking His kingdom first. Matthew 6 and verse 33. How do you perceive yourself this afternoon? Do you perceive yourself as wise? Do you perceive yourself as right? Do you perceive yourself as big, mighty, and grand? If so, humble yourself before it's everlastingly too late. Become as a little child. Look our Father in the eyes by submitting unto His will, being baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. If you've already done such and have become a child of God by doing so, Galatians 3, 26 and 27, but have fallen away, have made the prince of this world your father once again rather than the Father in heaven, then come home before it's everlastingly too late. Do you have any spiritual need this afternoon? If so, please come forward as all together we stand and sing.